Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Steve Kornfeld, and I'm glad that you have the opportunity to listen to yet another podcast from Veterinary Success Services. What prompted me to come up with this particular call today is the fact that I've been hearing around that people are suffering, a lot of practices are suffering a decrease in the amount of recommendations approved by clients. And a common theme in clients refusing services is that it is too expensive. So what I've noticed is that a lot of clients are finding the cost of our services to be too high and getting much more so. And coupled with the fact that there is so much competition out there, people are much more leery to approve services, especially for high ticket items. So I've done my research and I've reached out to someone who can help us with this important area. I want to welcome Tony Ferraro, who is the president of Total Financial Services. Be a really unique and innovative way to help you, us, get more clients to say yes to our recommendations. And by the way, Tony also has a lot of animals, and he is an avid fan of our profession. And Tony, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to help educate the veterinary profession.
So let's begin then with the question about accounts receivable. It is a very thorny issue in our profession. Everybody has one. Now, your company deals with more than just the veterinary industry. So what have you noticed in when it comes to accounts receivables when it comes to the veterinary profession?
Yeah, that's true. We handle a lot of industries across, you know, accountants, attorneys, health clubs, veterinarian, dental, cosmetic surgery. And all those industries have an accounts receivable. But when you come to the veterinarian industry, it seems that accounts receivable is taboo in this industry. You talk to the accountants and or the business evaluation people, and they all say you shouldn't carry accounts receivable and or your accounts receivable should be less than 2% of your gross. And I understand that because in the past, all accounts receivable has always been managed, or they try to manage it, in-house, and the doctors and their staff don't have the tools to manage accounts receivable. And, you know, when I come across this, everybody's looking for, do you guarantee, you know, the money? You know, we're not guaranteed the money if we carry accounts receivable. And part of me says, you know, well, if everybody was looking for a guarantee, then there would be no entrepreneurs out there, you know. So it's just an education process that every other industry can carry accounts receivable, and I find it funny why the veterinary industry does not want accounts receivable.
So when you decided to get into this profession with your services, I'm sure you've done your due diligence. Could you share with us some of the thought process of getting involved with us and maybe some of the economic stats that you've come across and which point to some kind of a concern when it comes to our industry?
Yeah, we got into the industry mainly because of our own personal experience. You know, one of my dogs, a schnauzer, got involved, accidentally got into the Easter trash. I thought my girlfriend took out the trash. She thought I took out the trash, and we bagged it up and was just sitting in the kitchen, and he got into the trash, and he ate a bunch of chicken bones. And then $4,000 later for a gastrotomy, you know, it opened our eyes. And as we're talking to the veterinarians, they told us, yeah, you don't realize how many people cannot afford these procedures and how we're having to really try to help them to meet the pet care compliance. And then so we did our research, and, you know, it's mainly looking at the veterinary industry. It's a discretionary expense for a lot of people. And you have too many economic statistics going against you. Like 71% of the consumers have less than $1,000 in their savings. You know, there's been a drop in the savings rate, you know, since 1980. It was, we used to save 12%. Now it's down to 5%. you know, 56% of the consumers have subpar credit scores. That means a credit score below 700. And then only 39% of the pet owners get approved for third-party financing like Care Credit. So, and then on top of that, only about less than 3% have pet insurance. So it's a vicious circle. And with all this going against the veterinary industry, they have increased their prices 91% since 2000 to 2013. So they have to do something to attract new clients and to get pet healthcare compliance to have that increase.
Okay, so from your perspective, what do you think we should do to help increase compliance?
Well, I think the industry's got to be able to allow for alternative payment methods, and they're going to have to embrace these alternative payment methods because people can't afford these large sums of the large unexpected bill. And they're going to, with all the tools that are available to the veterinary industry now, having accounts receivable can be a viable, reoccurring revenue stream for them. If it can work in all the other industries, it can work in the veterinary industry. So it's really an education process to the veterinarian, because you see a lot of older vets are really hesitant on taking on accounts receivable, but a lot of the newer, younger vets coming in, they understand that there's going to have to be an accounts receivable position because people don't have the pet insurance.
So, in veterinary practice, if you have not realized it yet, we are creatures of habit. When we get used to some kind of a way to deal with something, in this case with finances, we all deal with it, and it's very difficult for us to change it. So if you've suggested a moment ago that around 30%, if I'm not mistaken, 31% of pet owners are declined when they apply for Care Credit. Now, my question for you then, why would the vet want to extend some kind of a payment plan to somebody who has been declined for Care Credit?
Yeah, it's actually only 39% are approved. So you're looking at 61% that are denied.
Wow.
So it's just because, and I understand Care Credit has its place and it's needed, but they are different. They're taking responsibility for the invoice. Basically, they take anywhere from 5 to 15% off the top. So if a if the invoice is $1,000, say Care Credit might give the vet $900. So the vet's losing that 10%. And they have to have stricter rules. But just because somebody does not get approved for Care Credit or any other third-party financing doesn't mean they're going to be a bad-paying pet owner, because they can put it in their budget, their monthly budget, to whatever it take, $100 or $200 a month. They just can't afford the $500 or $1,000, up front. And it's been proven that this is the case, and it's been proven is why we're so successful at it. Again, it's the industries, all the industries, is everybody knows everything is going monthly. Put it into your monthly budget. Real quick, I can do it. I give you a scenario outside the industry. A consulting company came to us, and they were having a hard time selling their consulting package, a $16,000 consulting package for 6 months of consulting, and they couldn't sell them. So they came to us, and we developed a plan where we would build it was for the automotive industry. We would build the garages $300 a week, and they went from zero income to over $400,000 a month in recurring revenue in 3 years. So it just goes to show you that it can work, but it's got to be a payment method that is conducive to the consumer, the pet owner's budget.
So the attraction for CareCredit for the veterinary profession is that, look, I have a very ill or pet who needs some care. I want to take care of the animal today. I want to be paid for it today. I know I'm going to pay a price for this. It's going to cut into my net profit. But nonetheless, I want the opportunity to take care of the pet today. So do you want to take a moment here and describe your business model and how different is it from CareCredit?
Yeah, well, where we're different was we're not giving the practice the money up front and then taking responsibility for the invoice. All right. What we're saying is we're going to bill, electronically debit the payments from your pet, from the pet owner's checking account or credit card. And as the payments come in, we remit them to the veterinary practice. My question is, since the tools are out there, and we have tools, and there are tools in the industry that you can check the pet owner's credit history, and where the veterinary industry didn't have this before. So why would you give a good paying, like somebody has maybe a 700 or 800 credit score, send them to CareCredit and lose that 5 to 15% when you could just handle it in-house and have it professionally managed and save that money? You would have to run 5 to 15% delinquent for it not to pay for itself. So we do the processing for the veterinarians. The veterinarians have total control over who gets a payment plan. We have no say in that. If they want to use our credit score recommendation tool to see if the pet owner is going to be a good paying client, they can do that. But we have practices that use it, other practices that don't. We have practices that send us everything, even the very bad, and we will still bill and collect on it.
So if I understand correctly, then your business model says, here, doc, you are going to get the entire amount eventually. You're going to be paid over an extended period of time. In other words, you're going to have accounts receivable, but eventually you're going to be paid the entire amount without having to chip off 5 to 15% the cost of the service. Am I correct on this?
That's correct. And if they use our credit score recommendation tool, right now we have a 0% delinquency when they use it. We give letter grades from A to a G. So A to a D, we have zero delinquency in our payment plans.
But a lot of people tell us, a lot of the experts tell us, do not carry an account receivable, and if you have to, then it should not be more than 1% to 3% of your gross production. What do you think?
And see, I would dispute that. I understand they're saying that based on past history and because it wasn't professionally managed. Why do companies outsource their payroll, say to ADP? Or any other payroll company, because it's more efficient for them to do it. And then if they make a mistake with the payroll taxes or something like that, or, you know, when you handle the payroll in-house and you forget to pay the taxes, then you get the IRS penalties, you let the payroll company do it, alleviate that headache for your staff. Our thing is most vets want to help every pet that comes in the door. And we know that they most likely will help, and then maybe take on the accounts receivable or do it as pro bono work. What we're trying to say is within a professionally managed accounts receivable, you can be that compassionate vet and take care of the pets and get paid at the same time.
So what is the process when it comes to CareCredit? Again, we're all familiarized with it. People fill out a form or electronically fill out a form, and they get credited or not within a few moments. What is the process in your case?
Well, in our case, it's very simple. We would have a customized payment plan form for the vets that they could fill out. We're very simple. What we found out is most people like to do it fill out the paperwork and either fax it to us or securely email it to us. So if somebody were to come in and they would need a payment plan, or they were denied by CareCredit or they didn't win CareCredit, they would fill out the payment plan. The practice would fill out all the personal information, the amounts, and all the bank information, and forward it to us, and then we would process it from there. The way it works with us is it doesn't cost the vet anything to use us. What happens is as soon as we get the payment plan, we would charge a $25 processing fee to the pet owner, and then we add $3 to each payment. So if a vet sends a payment, say for five payments for $100, we would process a $25 processing fee right away as soon as we get the payment plan to verify all the bank information, and then we would add $3. So we would debit $103, send $100 to the vet, and we keep the $3.
So in other words, the bottom line is that the vet office stays with a higher net profit for that transaction.
Correct, higher net profit. Yes, they are waiting a little longer to get their money, but getting the money up front, we all know that you're not making any interest in the money in the bank now, you know. So, but at least right now you're actually going to be making 5 to 15% more by handling it, having an in-house payment plan.
Excellent. So we're going back to this process entails carrying accounts receivable. Do you feel that carrying accounts receivable can help attract new clients or retain existing clients? Does it have any impact on this?
Yeah, we're finding out that the practices that actually advertise that they offer payment plans, they're actually finding out that it's bringing new clients into their practice, but it doesn't mean they're using a payment plan every time, and it doesn't mean that they're getting all the deadbeats coming into their practice. What they're doing is say, we offer payment plans, restrictions apply. They might say no retail purchases. They might say a specific dollar amount to be approved for a payment plan, maybe specific services. But they're coming in there, and they're paying cash all the time for the normal visits. They're just coming to the practice just in case something extraordinary happens, that they know that practice has alternative payment methods.
So do you have any kind of creative ideas of how to handle this program to maybe improve business, attract more customers, some that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, actually, since it's Pet Dental Month, we've actually had a couple of our clients, they're advertising dental plans. One client is advertising a prepaid dental, pay X dollars per month for 3 months, and then they'll do the dental procedure after it's paid off. And we have another client who's he was offering to do the dental work just as a normal payment plan, you know, come in, put X dollars down, and we'll do a payment plan for you. The ones that are really successful are embracing it, and they're not afraid to say, hey, Steve, I'm sorry, you don't qualify for a payment plan because these are our rules and regulations, or yes, you do qualify. You know, it's a matter of, it's like anything. Yes, we offer payment plans, but there are restrictions.
Okay, so do you mind talking a little bit about these restrictions? For instance, what is the minimum amount of dollars that you would apply to this plan? Is there a minimum? Is there a maximum? And does it apply to services only or products as well?
Yeah, I would never have, you know, you put a product, a retail item, onto a payment plan. It should only be for services from the vet. When we started this, we thought, okay, we figured the average payment would be $500 and, you know, maybe a 3 to 6 month term payment plan. But it's really funny because we're getting the whole spectrum. I mean, we have clients that are in very depressed areas, and sometimes we get payment plans, they just owe $150 and they're doing, you know, five payments of $25. And then on the other hand, you know, we have gotten payments plans for $26,000. Well, it was a $26,000 invoice. They put $8,000 down, and we're doing the payment plan for $16,000. I think it was a two-year payment plan. We have some that was a large dental bill, you know, and the pet owner picked that they want to be biweekly debited, so it'll be 31 biweekly payments for, it was like a, I think, a $5,000 dental, large dental bill. So we run the spectrum from all the way down from $75 the balance are paying off all the way up to the, you know, $16,000-$17,000 payment plan.
And how long does it take for a practice to receive a green light from you to go ahead with the procedure?
Oh, everything's done. All our documents are e-documents. They can be up and running in less than a week.
Okay.
If they're going to use the credit score recommendation tool, we do have to do an on-site inspection. It's required by the credit bureaus. We have to take pictures inside now to make sure they're a true brick and mortar type business. But the payment plans can start right away. Just the on-site inspection has got to be done within 6 months.
I understand. And so briefly, all the changes when it comes to accounts receivable, how do you think they are impacting and how do you think they will impact our profession and the financial side of it?
I think it's going to have a tremendous impact to grow the industry, to grow the professions. I mean, if anybody looks at, you know, way back in the 80s and 70s or whatever, when health clubs started, it was always, they all paid in full. As soon as they went to the monthly payment plan, that's when, you know, the revenue jumped. Just like the consulting company I said earlier, as soon as they went to a monthly, or actually they went to a weekly billing plan, their revenue jumped. So it's really, again, it's a mindset and an education process for the veterinary profession that old accounts receivable of sending out invoices and waiting for the check to come in the mail, that's what they're scared of. This is something totally different. Everything's done electronically. We're electronically debiting the credit card or the checking account. And so the payment compliance is much higher. And when it's professionally managed, the payment compliance is even higher.
So allow me, please, to be the devil's advocate here. Why not just let clients write you a number of post-dated checks and be done with it?
Well, taking post-dated checks is not actually a legal way to do it, and you're also running a security risk there of holding on to those post-dated checks. And also, you know, keeping credit card information. We have come across some practices that have credit card information that they just store in their file cabinet, and the front desk person pulls out the information and tries to hand keys in the credit card information. You run a big security risk doing that. That's why it should be professionally managed, so you don't have to worry about the legalities and the professional and the security issues.
Now, once someone has qualified to sign up for your program, if I'm the veterinary practice, am I guaranteed to receive my money, or do my being paid depends on your ability to collect the money from the client?
Correct. It's based there. You know, we do not guarantee that the payments are going to be there. There is a business model we're looking at that we might be able to in the future, but right now, we're not guaranteeing the payments. Like I said, if everybody wanted a guarantee, then why did they become an entrepreneur? Because there's no guarantees when you become an entrepreneur and open up your own business. So it's a matter of we just give the tools to the veterinary practice for them to make educated decisions and to get control of their money versus, you know, having a third party control the decision making. And these tools weren't available in the past. They're available now, and they're very cost-effective, so it makes accounts receivable a very viable tool to grow revenue.
So when somebody decides to whether to come into the practice or go to another, there are many factors that go into play, one of which is the cost of the service. Another is people's ability to pay that service, and I think that a benefit for having such a program is to say, look, we are not only are we excellent and receive value for the service, we also want to go one step further and help you spread those payments out over time to alleviate your financial burden. Do you see any other benefits, not necessarily financial, although there could be financial, to having such a program in practice?
Yeah, I can. We just actually get testimonials and we get thank yous from a lot of pet owners, and we just got one the other day, and it's kind of similar to a lot we get. That the lady had a dog that was in distress, giving birth to the puppies, and she went to I think 3 vets around her area, and not one of them would help her because she couldn't afford the pay up front. It was just like right after Christmas, so they were a little financially strapped. So she actually went online, found our company, went to our participating vets, keyed in her zip code, found a participating vet around her, drove 40 miles to that participating vet. The dog gave birth to 3 puppies. They put her on a 3-month payment plan. Now she's using that vet all the time, even though it's 40 miles away, because she's got a bad taste in her mouth from the other vets who wouldn't help. And that's what we're trying to overcome, because all the vets have this compassion fatigue, and it doesn't have to be that way. This, you can give viable pet owners a way to pay, and it makes it easier for the staff, it makes it easier for the doctors, and it should alleviate a lot of this compassion fatigue problems that the industry is facing. And it brings imagine the goodwill it brings to you in your community when word starts spreading that you actually do care, and the veterinary industry can do away with that connotation that, oh, they're only in it for the money. Now they can be in it for the money, but also help a lot more pets.
Sure. There's nothing wrong in being financially secure and compassionate at the same time.
Correct. Exactly right. I mean, we're starting to get a lot of shelters calling us for that, because they put out the money for the veterinary care. Now they're starting to put people on payment plans to recoup some of that money so they can help even more pet owners.
Talking of which, what has been your impression so far as your market penetration and the willingness of our colleagues to adopt this new way of spreading out payments?
We've been doing really well. We launched vet billing in 2014, and we're already in 33 states. And getting a practice on board is very easy because it doesn't cost anything. But having them start sending payment plans, because they're so used to this cash, credit card, or check, or care credit, they either forget about it, or they have a staff changeover, and they don't utilize it the way it should be utilized. Because I know for a fact, every veterinary practice I talk to, at least 4 or 5 people come in every week that need help paying for veterinary care. So, you know, we have some practices give us 30, 40 payment plans a month. Other practices might just give 1 a month. You know, why that is, I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet, you know, why they're only giving 1 and others are giving us 30 and 40. It's really an education process, and that's what we're trying to get out, is through seminars or podcasts like this to educate the veterinary industry that if you really want to overcome these economic statistics that are going against being able to pay for pet care, you need to change the way you think and think outside the box.
I agree 100% with you, and what I like about your business model is in an age where the cost of veterinary care is skyrocketing and it's scheduled to be even more so, it's not going to get cheaper. I think it's good to be able to offer veterinary practices yet another way to alleviate the concern the clients have when it comes to paying their bill. They want the service, they like you, but still a heavy burden for them. If you can spread it out and not notch away at your net profit, I think it's a really good way to go. So,
correct.
Yeah. And any final thoughts on our profession from your perspective and where we are going from your point of view?
Yeah, I see that, you know, the other avenue that we try to do is try to educate the pet owner also, because, you know, you always have stigma that the veterinarians are only in it for the money. But the consumer doesn't understand that the veterinarians have all the same equipment that human health has. but they have all the same equipment in their office, you know, whereas as a human health, you have to go to the lab to get the blood work. You have to go to another place to get the x-ray. You have to go all these places to do everything. And the consumer just doesn't realize what's involved. So we try to educate them to understand that it's not that they're really the veterinary care is expensive. It's actually cheap compared to human medicine, but it seems expensive because nobody has pet insurance. You know, so our job is to educate the veterinarian industry about accounts receivable while trying to educate the consumer why they think it's costly when really it's not costly compared to human medicine.
Excellent. So, Tony, if anybody wants to get in touch with you to get some more information on your service, what should they do?
They can go to www.vetbilling.com or give us a call at 800-766-1918. And if they want to email me, they can email me at tony@ebcs-solutions.com. And if anybody mentions this podcast, we can give them a discount on the powerful tool that we have, the credit score recommendation tool we call CSR. We can give them a discount on the setup charge for that on-site inspection.
Very well, Tony. I thank you so much for giving us your time. I like the business model, and I think that with time it will be widespread in our industry. And I want to thank you again.
I appreciate the opportunity, Steve. Thank you.
And to all of you, until next time, have a good day.